My name is Keith Bradner. Let's talk about evolving VR development to reality design. We've been creating virtual reality experiences for a few years now. And we've been shouting at anybody who would listen about how immersive it is, how it feels real, how amazing the technology is. As creators, I think the best advice that we can take about virtual reality development is from ourselves. We should start developing more as if the user is literally there, literally experiencing this environment. Because they are. We're literally remapping two of the user's senses to digital inputs. Now, their entire visual spectrum, their entire auditory responses are now in our control. And that's a lot of power, but it's also a lot of responsibility. Now, user-centered design is a good start here, but our world is complex. We have a lot of rules in our reality, and we count on the reliability and extent of those rules for comfort. This is Loon. If you haven't tried it, it's made by Kabibo, Isaac Hayes. He's a fantastic developer. He really focuses on how the user is going to feel throughout his experience. And through each stage, he's targeting a specific emotion, and he's wildly successful at it. So in your VR development, think about how your user is going to feel if your app is their entire reality. This is my entire reality for some AAA experiences when I start up. This isn't a bug. This is literally what I see. I see a black screen, and I just see darkness. I don't see a platform. I don't see my hands. I don't see any kind of room. I don't hear anything in my ear. No, it's just darkness when I start up an experience. First impressions are important, and even something as previously minor as an engine or audio system splash screen now needs to be redesigned. Every step of our traditional development process needs to be assessed and redesigned with the user's comfort in mind. And there's lots of ways to do this. So when Valve was creating the lab, they started taking this into account. Valve has a pretty iconic splash screen with a bald guy and the Valve sticking out of the back of his head. And when they went to make a new experience in VR, they redesigned this. It's a little dark on the screen here, but when I come into it, I still get the logo, so the goal is still being accomplished here. You know, you still know it's a Valve product. But I also have an environment. I'm in a room. You know, there's a little creaking of valves in there. It's a reality. It's a world that they've put me into. I can do a lot of things, but I can't levitate. I can't float, I can't fly, I can't walk on water. I'm not saying don't do these things in VR. You know, absolutely experiment. We're making realities here. But when you do it, make it intentional. I've got my main example here of when this happens is in menu screens. You know, the menu is not the focus of our experience, right? We're trying to get you past the menu to the rest of our experience. But there's a threshold we have to reach here. If I'm floating out in space, personally, that makes me very uncomfortable. Some people get physically ill when they have nothing under them. You know, this isn't like a trivial thing. This is somebody's entire reality. And so if you're going to put me out in space, you can, but give me some context of why I'm there and how I'm there. and how I'm interacting in this environment. You can do that as simply as just putting a platform beneath me. This was a like $5 asset that I pulled off the Unity Asset Store. It can be simple, but it can have a huge effect on your user. Think about how they're going to feel in their environment. You know, here, think about how they're going to feel floating out in the vacuum of space alone. Not great. So try and make that as comfortable as possible. We've been making beautiful 3D environments for many years now, decades. We're really, really good at it. What we're still learning about is interaction. Sometimes we focus on this in one specific mechanic in one specific place, but not for everything most of the time. We're starting to recognize this with VR, but it's not just important, it's critical. If I have like a light switch, for example, in my environment, and it doesn't work when I flip it, then I've immediately lost faith in my reality. You know, I've lost faith that this developer understands my intent, and so now I'm distracted through the entire experience. I'm not focusing on this reality that you've created for me. I'm trying to figure out what I can and can't do. And that's not the purpose of your applications. That's not the purpose of these experiences. They can be, whether it's like unconscious or conscious thought process, they're consistently going to be thinking about that. It stifles their engagement with your experience. So guide users. Don't force them through your experience. Being in full control of somebody's reality generally means you have some sort of goal in mind, some task you want to accomplish, some mechanic you want to highlight. But our reality, our shared reality, is messy. There's a lot of things in it. And if your virtual one is too clean, it can feel sterile or just generally disconcerting. When I'm sharing something in real life, say I'm inviting somebody over to my home, you know, I've probably got a goal in mind. I want to talk to them about something, but I probably also have stuff on my coffee table. If they pick that thing up to inspect it, you know, I'm not going to slap it out of their hand. They're going to be able to pick it up too. Now, if you've placed something in your virtual environment, you've done it purposefully. So allow your user to take advantage of that. Virtual reality is inherently, like all realities, multitasking enabled. Your user can be doing multiple things, will be doing multiple things at one time. So if you try and force them into one action, then they're just going to be distracted and uncomfortable. Interactions are a big part of our reality, how we manipulate the objects in our world. And how those objects move in response to our interactions is a really critical part of that. So just like the rest of modern design, your interactions should be reactive. Nothing in our shared reality moves instantaneously. We can process instant movements, as has been shown in VR for quite a while now. But it's jarring. It's not pleasant, and you lose some context there. Give the reaction of your interactions time to breathe. You've spent time crafting these interactions. Let them take time to affect. We're not in the mobile world here. I don't need to reduce the user's taps from 3 to 2 to keep their focus. That's not the point of the experience. The name of the game here is satisfaction. Make your interactions satisfying. Convince me to remain in this reality that you've created. Don't push me past the ugly bits. This is a short clip from Luna. And their whole game, their whole experience is built around this concept. Everything is revealed, not just shown. Each interaction is designed with care. Interactions don't have to be complex to be satisfying. This is a very simple interaction where I pull the trigger and this flower cup kind of engages. And it tells me, as my first experience in the world, that not just is this reality going to be, not just am I going to have a simple and understandable interface with this reality, but that it's going to be cool. And the fact that this is, again, your first interface with the reality begins this relationship of trust that then flows through the rest of the experience. Reacting to interactions can act as confirmation, too. Let your user know that their reality that you crafted for them understands their intent. It's going to depend on the specific scenario, but here I've highlighted an experiment from Martin Schubert from Leap Motion. And you'll notice as the hand moves over an object, the fingers change shade to recognize that the hand is close to that object, to give them this idea that their reality has recognized that they're probably about to interact with this. So the idea here is letting your user know that their intent is being recognized. This should be a subconscious process. They shouldn't be consciously thinking about whether their reality understands what they're doing or not. Things should just happen. And if they don't, there's a lot of unintended side effects. If half the time a friend comes over to my house, I ask them to take their shoes off, and half the time when they come over, I don't, then every time they come over, they're thinking about, is he going to freak out about my shoes? No, that's not what I'm trying to let them focus on. So every time you have an inconsistent interaction, it detracts from the experience, and certainly for the rest of your experience, but also for the rest of their experience in virtual reality as a whole. In VR, a lot of the place that this happens is dropping objects. When I drop an object in VR, either the same thing should happen each time, or I should know before I drop it what's going to happen. I see things go through the floor a lot of the time. Sometimes they snap to my hip. Sometimes there's a variety of different interactions. Just telegraph to your user what's going to happen before it happens so that they know, so that their understanding of the reality is reaffirmed. Physics can be a great rule set to rely on. We have existing systems for this in game engines that have been tried and reproduced many times. You just have to take advantage of them. You know, buttons in phone, web, and desktop interfaces are generally binary things. They're either on or off. You designate that with a click or a tap. But we're seeing a world in 90 frames a second in our headsets, ideally. So what I want is a one-to-one relationship between how much I'm intending to press a button and its visual state. And this gives me confirmation in my reality. I have a better idea that when I take an action, the expected reaction is going to occur. It makes my reality more reliable by visual feedback. Physics can be tricky, though. So we make, Tomorrow Today Labs makes a product called Newton VR, which is what this video is of. And in most situations, it works great. But in some situations, it doesn't. When you have a controller in Newton VR, it's by default in kind of a transparent ghost state. And when you hit a button, it transforms into a physical object. And that allows you to press buttons and things. But if you do that while your controller is below the button, and then it freaks out. Now, this is an easy thing to fix, but my point here is you've got to test these interactions a lot. The user shouldn't be thinking about, is this button going to be pressed? Is this system going to understand my intent? They should be hitting a button. They're in a reality. They see a button. They see a physical object. They have a physical means of interacting with our world. They should be pressing a button, not hoping that the system recognizes their intent. Failure to do that poisons their entire mental map of their reality. And then they're, again, questioning everything, being distracted from your experience. When you break interaction expectations in virtual reality, you're breaking the trust that your user has in their world. Again, this is their whole world for a time. We barely have other ways of applications interacting with them, with each other right now. So you're not trying to gain your user's focus. They always are focused on your application. They may be literally scared of the repercussions, depending on if you've muddled that trust. If they've hit a button a few times and it hasn't worked, then they may be scared that you're going to drop the floor out from under them. And then they get sick, right? Like, it's not just like a fear thing. Most users have the ability to get physically ill in VR. So recycle your interactions. Experiment, certainly. But once you find good interactions that work really well and have your intended effect, use them all over the place. Because that will reaffirm your user's reality. It will reaffirm their trust in that reality. Success breeds confidence. So the more that they can take an action and have the intended reaction, the less they're going to be worried about how to interact with the world. They're just going to do things. They're just going to interact with your world, and that's what you're intending, right? So Newton VR is an easy way to start with this. It's a platform, though. It's an open source thing. It's free on GitHub. But it's a platform, so it's a place to start. Physics is a great rule set that you can manipulate. Users seem to really have this established connection to physics, right? We see it every day. It's in all the objects we interact with in real life. And so when you put that into virtual reality, a certain amount of comfort comes with that, as long as you do it consistently and reliably. So a lot of this boils down to trust. When you have nearly full control over someone's reality, they're placing a lot of trust in you as a developer. If you break your user's trust, you're stuck playing catch-up for the rest of the experience. Trust in most situations, and certainly here, is a one step forward, two steps back kind of thing. Trying to convince them that the experience they're in is worth being confused and uncomfortable is not the situation you want to be in. We have the ability to make these fantastic experiences, new realities, things that humans have literally never experienced before. So let your users focus on that. Let your users focus on this reality that you're crafting for them. Be thoughtful about your design. Be friendly. Give your users a satisfying experience. Treat them as friends that you're inviting over. Be responsible with the power that they've placed in you, and they will be able to fully enjoy your world. Make realities that humans want to live in. Thanks. My name is Keith Bradner. Here's my email, Twitter. You can get Newton at newtonvr.com.